The Illusion of Choice. A Life Lived on Autopilot. Chapter 9, Entangled Minds, Fractured Influence. The chapter opens in Quantum Quinn's lab. It is a dimly lit space filled with screens, flashing data, and a buzzing hum of machines. Alejandra is seated at one of the terminals, scanning complex codes while Scott stands nearby, his body language tense. The Guardian AI rests in the background, recovering from the earlier attack at the hands of the robots under the control of Nitti. And Alejandra says to herself softly, "This doesn't make any sense. Why is this here?" She leans closer, her eyes narrowing as she works through the lines of the code. And Scott pacing says, "Alejandra, we've been at this for so long. We need to move. It's not safe here, especially not after what Nitti did to the Guardian AI. Those robots, they can do a lot of damage. The Guardian nearly didn't survive it. So we also had our problem. We barely got away from that horrific gas explosion last time, remember?" And Alejandra continues to stare at the screen without looking up and says, "Oh, I remember, Scott, but look what I found here. There's a back door, a vulnerability in Nitti's system. If I can just get past it, if I can..." Her hands fly over the keyboard as she continues to try to hack her way through a back door in Nathaniel Knox's computer network. Scott grows frustrated. "Alejandra, we're running out of time. We need to regroup and reassess before Knox should find us once again and find us, of all places, at the lab here." And Alejandra turns to face him, determined. "Well, that's exactly what I'm doing, Scott. This back door is an opening. I could expose him, figure out how he's been controlling everything. If I can break this code, I can unravel his entire system. But you're trying to cut me short. And you're always trying to get us out of things before we finish what we started." And Scott stiffens at her words, his frustration increasing from the distance. "Well, as I recall, you were the one who rushed us out of that apartment house to avoid the explosion. It was a good thing, but, well, when we sense danger, we want to save one another, right? It's not about cutting you short, Alejandra. It's about keeping you alive. You almost died back there." His voice falters, the memory of her near-death experience clearly affecting him. And Alejandra, more gentle but resolute, says, "And I saved us by seeing the bigger picture. If we run every time, we're just reacting, Scott. Yes, we have to get out of explosive situations, but we can never truly win and be safe like that. We can only save ourselves temporarily. Let me finish this." She turns back to the screen, her fingers flying across the keyboard again, a tension still hanging between them. A subtle alarm beeps on the console, signaling that time is running short. Alejandra says, "Just a little bit more." Scott grabs her wrist gently but firmly. "We're out of time. We gotta leave now." There's a moment of silence between them, a heavy pause before Alejandra reluctantly shuts down the terminal. She then arises, her face a mix of frustration and resignation. "Okay, fine, but this isn't over." The two exit the lab, their tensions unresolved. The scene shifts to a safe house that Quantum Quinn has set up. He understands the dangers involved, having witnessed the robot attack at his very facility. It's a stark contrast to the high-tech lab he usually occupies. The safe house is dimly lit with scattered papers and books. The Guardian AI, still recovering, flickers weakly from a nearby device monitoring the space, and Quinn stands at a whiteboard drawing complex diagrams of entanglement. Meanwhile, Scott and Alejandra sit nearby, barely acknowledging one another. Quantum Quinn talks excitedly, quickly.
"So here's the thing. Entanglement doesn't just apply to particles. We're talking about systems, minds, even choices, time. It's not just physical anymore. Entanglement, it means that it's all connected.
He circles a group of lines on the whiteboard, each one representing different elements of the system. Nitti's system, Nathaniel Knox's system. And Alejandra, still visibly upset but curious, says, "Well, what do you mean by mental?" And Quantum Quinn grins, gesturing wildly.
Imagine this. Every time Nitti manipulates someone, every time he forces someone's hand, makes them choose one option over the other, he's locking himself into that same system. He's entangling his mind, his consciousness, with theirs, over and over and over again. How many people does he affect? Millions? The more he controls, the tighter his own web becomes. And he's not just controlling them. He's binding himself to their choices.
And Scott frowns. So you're saying that by controlling us, this corporate sponsor, what we also know as Nitti, he's ultimately hurting himself too? And Quantum Quinn nods.
Exactly. It's like a tangled net that keeps getting heavier and heavier and heavier. Eventually, it'll collapse under its own weight. Every decision he influences, and he can't stop. Every piece of free will he tries to erase, it all pulls him deeper into all these systems and really weighs down his entire system to the point where one day it has to break. The more he tightens his grip, the more vulnerable he becomes.
Alejandro leans forward, intrigued. So, his power, it has its limits. We can use this against him? And Quantum Quinn grins, clearly excited.
Absolutely. It's a delicate balance. The more he tries to dominate, the more he becomes part of the very thing he's trying to control. But it's not just about breaking the net. It's about timing. We have to strike at the right moment when his system is strained, when the web is close to collapsing. Like I've said, timing is everything.
Scott listens, but seems distant, still haunted by the close call at the lab, and later by his conflict with Alejandra. Scott says, how do we know when this moment of truth is about the collapse of his web? And Quantum Quinn responds,
well, that's the tricky part. It's about understanding the patterns, the flow of energy and influence. And it's not an exact science, but we'll know. And when we do, we have to be ready. And he calls over to the Guardian AI, you have to help us project when that moment is.
And there's a weak handshake from the Guardian AI who acknowledges the crucial role he'll play in the process. Nathaniel Knox, in his headquarters buried somewhere beneath the ground in an undisclosed location, has taken a moment to lean back in his chair behind his desk to recall how he got to this place. It all started in a mystery school for him in Atlantis so long ago. In his mind's eye, the walls of the school rise like ancient towers, covered in shimmering runes and symbols. The air hums with energy, the light cold and otherworldly. A far younger version of Nitti, dressed in flowing robes of pre-ancient times, stands before a large ancient machine, his face a mix of ambition and determination. The robes are a stark contrast to the skin-tight suits that he normally puts on in the modern day. Young Nitti, confident, almost arrogant, says,
the power to observe is the power to control, the power to influence fate itself. That's the gift we were meant to wield.
He touches the machine, its ancient mechanisms responding to his presence. An Atlantean teacher, appearing behind him, a ghostly-like figure, says, the power to observe is the power to witness, not to dominate, Nitti. It is meant for balance and not control. Remember the law of reciprocity. The more that you seek to dominate others, the more you're bound to their fates. And no man should seek that. There's a deep, almost sorrowful tone to the teacher's voice.
And young Nitty scoffs, his eyes gleaming with ambition.
Balance is for the weak. Control is the only way forward.
And he begins to siphon knowledge from the machine, his eyes glowing with forbidden ambition. The ground trembles as he pulls too much, far too fast.
The Atlantean teacher tries to offer a warning, which is in vain.
You should heed our warnings, young Nitty, for what you do to others, you do to yourself.
The flashback ends abruptly, and Nitty's consciousness returns to the present. The corporate sponsor, also known as Nathaniel Knox and Nitty, is now sinister and more mature-looking. He stands in front of a darkened chamber, staring into an ancient cracked mirror. His reflection shows not only his face, but countless distorted images of others entangled with him, their fates tied to his own. And he says coldly to himself,
I will be the observer, the one who controls all. And what I do to them, I will master in myself.
His voice is filled with both arrogance and a hint of something deeper, namely fear. Meanwhile, back at the safe house, Alejandra steps outside, the cool night air washing over her. Scott follows behind, the tension between them palpable. The moon casts a soft glow over the scene, but the weight of unspoken words hangs in the air. Scott says quietly, with urgency,
Alejandra, we need to talk about this.
He reaches out to touch her arm, but she steps away. Frustrated, she responds,
What is there to talk about, Scott? You keep acting like I need saving, like I'm some damsel in distress. But I'm not. I found the opening today, and I could have uncovered everything if you hadn't pulled me out.
Her voice is sharp, but there's an undercurrent of hurt, and Scott says pained,
I did that to protect you. You're not seeing the danger. He could have killed you when he was in the lab, and if he knows what you're doing, Lord knows what he would do. Right now, he still thinks we could cooperate with him, and he can use us as assets. You hack his system, you don't know what's going to happen.
And Alejandra sighs.
I could have saved us all. Can't you see that, Scott?
She turns away from him, staring into the distance, and Scott, desperate, says,
I'm acting this way because I can't lose you. I promised to keep you safe outside the house after the gas explosion, and I meant it. You mean everything to me, Alejandra.
There's a long pause as the words sink in. Alejandra softens, but her expression remains conflicted.
And what if our love isn't real, Scott? What if it were just pawns in some bigger game controlled by Nitty? How do we even know our love is real that we're not just programmed to be together?
We can stop Nitty. We stop him. We stop the observation. We stop the manipulation. Then we see if we're truly in love. What about that? And Alejandra still isn't moved.
We could still be pawns in the game, Scott.
What do you mean, Alejandra?
Well, whether we like it or not, whether we fight or comply, we're still tangled in the web. Nitty himself is. That photon experiment, the way they seem to know what we're going to do even in the future, it's not only about observation now, it's also about they're able to see in advance. It's like the future is already there waiting. And that means that if the future is already written and established, waiting to be seen, then none of us are truly free.
So besides Nitty, the universe may be making us love each other. And Alejandra says,
well, yes. The love affair may have been scripted by something completely beyond our control from the very start, before time began.
Alejandra stares at Scott, the weight of her discovery crashing down on her.
Maybe it's not just Nitty, she whispers, her voice trembling with the realization. What if we've been part of this script all along? Not just us, him too. Entangled in a web none of us can escape, written long before we ever had any choice.